Well, Lisa, I have to admit that I was not aware how many cars and car parts we import from Mexico, but it's a lot, like a real lot. So to help us explain how big it is, we welcome Alan Baum. He's
the
principal.
Technical, yeah, technical
that's a technical CFA
it.
Term. Alan Baum, principal from Baum and Associates. He joins us from West Bloomfield, Michigan. So I'm sure he knows a thing or two about cars. So Alan, just give us some history as to why Mexico is such a big supplier of autos to the U.S.
Well, the obvious one, of course, is cost, the lower cost of labor. But it's also trade. And, of course, in this case, it's trade, not the way the president is talking about it. But the Mexican trade laws with the rest of the world, they have a lot of no-tariff agreements. And so companies from Japan, from Germany, from Korea flock, as well as, of course, the U.S., flock to Mexico in order to provide vehicles not just to North America, but to the world.
So one thing I'm struggling to understand, could Ford and General Motors, both of their shares down, General Motors 4.3% decline this morning, could they just shift their supply chains out of Mexico, avoid the tariffs, avoid the political fallout, and, you know, perhaps increase costs a bit, but immunize themselves from these types of trade uncertainties?
And, of course, the answer is no. If they could, that would mean they were running extremely inefficient plants, having the capability to move from one plant in one country to another. The whole system is, of course, tied together. And that's even true with their suppliers. Even if they said, okay, we're going to stick with the same suppliers because we know those are good companies, but we just want you to move to plants outside of Mexico. Again, that would be very poor management on the part of their supply base.
So, Alan, given what you know about these automakers and the current competitive landscape, how do you think the automakers, if these tariffs do go through, and maybe they go through at maybe the highest levels that the president is proposing, to what extent do you think they will pass along price increases versus, you know, trying to eat it in the margin? I mean, how do you think they'll react?
Well, as with any product, it's based upon what the consumer will bear. And so if we're talking about crossovers and sport utility vehicles and trucks, which are more popular with consumers, perhaps they'll be able to pass some of it along. With respect to cars that are a harder sell right now, they're not selling without the tariffs. They wouldn't sell very well with them. So it'll be a case-by-case decision. And it's also a very short-term decision. The way these tariffs, proposed tariffs, are posited, they would go up on a monthly basis. So what you might do, and this would be very disruptive and very expensive, but you might do it anyway. Normally, you have a little bit of a pause in production in the summertime, both for updating your plants, obviously to give your workers a little bit of a break, to do some maintenance. Maybe you defer all that and you just keep plugging. July and August are oftentimes when things slow down, when changes are made. The even worse situation for General Motors, for example, they're in the middle of a changeover in Mexico for their new pickup trucks. So they are a little bit down anyway, and they're ramping up. So this couldn't come at a worse time.
Yeah.
So if both automakers and suppliers said, we're not going to stop in July, we're not going to stop in August, there are people jumping out of windows, I'm sure, in a number of places. Hopefully they're not on a high floor to try to figure that all out.
So, Alan, does anyone benefit from these? I mean, I was thinking this morning, perhaps used car values will go up in the wake of this. Is there anyone who's going to sort of cash in a little?
That's certainly possible. And for example, Ford doesn't import fully built up F-150s or Super Duties from Mexico, whereas FCA and GM do their own products, obviously. So those are slight differences there. There are some suppliers that perhaps don't have as much of a base in Mexico. Then there are companies like Metalsa, which is a Mexican Mexican-based company that supplies North America, obviously they've got huge issues. I mean, let's carry this forward. We're talking 3.9 million vehicles a year built in Mexico, 2.6 million engines, and 1.8 million transmissions. So the question becomes, you know, how does, and these parts go back and forth. The issue apparently is there's no credit when you export something from the U.S., but when you bring it back as a fully assembled product, is the tariff on the entire thing? Even more, yeah. Is this even legal? And I'm not a lawyer, which means I'm not a trade lawyer, but there are side letters in the new USMCA. Some people believe those side letters are already in effect, and those side letters might make these tariffs illegal.
Yeah.
Obviously, we would have to go through a court process for that.
Alan Baum, thank you so much for being with us. Great, great insight. Alan Baum is principal for Baum & Associates, a Michigan-based research firm focused on automotive industries.